Jason Tatum the best player in the NBA?
Again, small sample size. Right now, he's playing better than anybody. I would definitely say that. And he's doing it on the defensive end. And that really, to me, has been really a step up for him. He's rebounding the ball effectively. He's been a facilitator. You know he can score the basketball. But when you see him defend the other team's best player, that, to me, that really shows me his growth as a player.
The big girls love that. Chicks love the last shot opportunity. Somebody give me a napkin so I can wipe my mouth.
Ah. All right, it's another episode of the Cedric Maxwell Podcast. This is different, all right? This is us, of course, Josue Pavone alongside Cedric Maxwell. And we're coming from inside the Barclays Center in their, what I'm being told, is the prayer room, I guess, Max?
Meditation room.
That's right.
So if you want to come in and pray for a victory, I guess you can. And me and Josue are quickly trying to get a little, podcast out that we can talk about this. And I think it's the upcoming Brooklyn game and see how the Celtics have been playing. And, you know, I wanted to know, and that last game against Miami and watching Jimmy Butler essentially destroy the Celtics, it was kind of interesting to see in that game and just how it kind of bounced back and forth. Celtics had an opportunity to win, but this is a big road trip for me, for the Celtics, because you're talking about a five-game road trip with some very tough teams and the opportunity to win games and go ahead. This will tell me the story about how good this team really is.
Yeah, especially because the way Kevin Durant's been playing, the way these guys are sort of turning this thing around. They're trying to stretch out a five-game winning streak against the Celtics. And they got what happened in the playoffs on their mind. I mean, they got swept by these guys. So you have to know that there's that sense of pride and that sense of we can really send a message here by beating this team right here in our house.
Yeah, I mean, you're talking about the Celtics, who right now have one of the best records in the league. And, you know, for them to come in here in Brooklyn, and Brooklyn wants to put a notch on their belt and show right now they're a legitimate contender, this is a huge game for them. You're playing in their home. And Kevin Durant has played well. Kyrie Irving obviously coming back. I don't think Ben Simmons is going to play tonight, but they do have some scorers and shooters, and we'll see how the Celtics bounce back. I think one of the things that happened in the Miami game was you saw how effective and how dynamic Jason Tatum is, but then without him, Jaylen Brown took over, but the Celtics still lost that game. They still needed Tatum to be not great, but just be good in that game. And for Tatum's standards, he really wasn't as good as he's been this year.
Right, that's true. Absolutely. But outside of that performance, it's been one heck of a season thus far, right? I mean, Jason Tatum's all of a sudden the MVP favorite. The Boston Celtics, obviously the best record in the NBA, the best offense in the NBA.
Whoa, Josue, how many games they got? 20 games? 20 plus games right now? You almost sound like Sean Gradney, my broadcast partner. The greatest offense of all time, ever. You're playing 20 games.
What's a good sample size for you? You want to hit the 30, 50 games?
Half a season is a good sample size for me. I don't look at the first game of the season. What is it? Like one year was the first five games of the season when I was broadcasting radio. We'd have the player who had the best stats, for a week. And that week, the leader in the pack was a guy who played for the Celtics for a minute. His name was Jerome Moiso. And it was like, okay, that was for one week. How many weeks do you have? So I like the Celtics. I like what they're doing. But again, give me a bigger sample size than 20 games when you have about 82 games in your regular season.
I think I got the answers for my next question then. I'm going to ask it anyways, though. Is Jason Tatum the best player in the NBA?
Again, small sample size. Right now, he's playing better than anybody. I would definitely say that. And he's doing it on the defensive end. And that really, to me, has been really a step up for him. He's rebounding the ball effectively. He's been a facilitator. You know he can score the basketball. But when you see him defend the other team's best player, that, to me, that really shows me his growth as a player.
Is this a rivalry between the Celtics and the Nets?
It's not a rivalry when you got swept. That's not a rivalry yet. So you tell me how it goes this season. When you start seeing these guys, you'll tell me one way or the other if it's a rivalry then.
How do you feel about this Nets team? Obviously, this talks about the Celtics, the Bucks, shit. Even your Cleveland Cavaliers they remain in that top tier in the playoff picture, so to speak. Not to mention the playoffs so early, Max. But where does Brooklyn fit in the mix of all those top tier teams in the East?
Again, you're asking me the same question about where do they fit in 20 games. I mean, you give me a better sample size of at least a half a season. Then I start talking about, hey, this guy's an MVP. You know, I don't think you get it with 20 games. Brooklyn is a really good team. Do you know they have Durant so they can score the ball? But I want to see what they have when they talk about defending. I mean, that's going to be a key, and I think it's a key for them tonight. You got a team that's coming in that's a juggernaut scoring the ball in the Boston Celtics. How does Brooklyn contain these guys? Not necessarily the other way around, but if the Celtics play their A game, I think they have more weapons than Brooklyn.
You think they're in the clear right now in terms of like the whole distraction thing with Kyrie Irving and all that? Or do you think that that should impact the team in terms of winning, you know, a month into the season?
Did I miss something? Did they sew his mouth up or something? Did they do something like that? I mean, Kyrie can, you know, he can go on a tangent and say some things or do some things that might be different. You know what I mean? Obviously, I love him as a player, but, you know, there is two seasons now. We've seen distractions. And still, you know, your guy, Ye, is, and they're always connecting him somehow with Kyrie.
Every time we have a new episode, there's like something else that he's done, and this is like all time awful level right now with Ye.
Ye went to this thing. I saw him it seemed like he had a pantyhose on his head, and he was saying, "I love Hitler. I love Hitler." I mean, that is so offensive to so many people. I just really feel. Like a couple comedians have talked about and said, in Kanye's case, I just feel bad about him. The fact that, you know, he needs help and he needs to be on his medication. It does not seem like he's – and there are times when he makes, you know, sense with some of that. But when he goes off on a tirade like this, that to me is absolutely unacceptable.
Who's this PR guy? Like, who's in charge here? Like, it's disappointing, it's disgusting, but it's also, like, makes you wonder how can someone get so far into the deep end and there's just no accountability, no, I mean, look, he's lost all his endorsements, he lost all his sponsors, and there's still no, like, slowing him down. This is getting bad, Max. This is a dangerous level, almost to the point where, God forbid, if something were to happen to him, it really wouldn't shock me at this point, to be honest.
We do, on radio, we used to do a commercial for a place called Town Fair Tires. And they always just talk about who's going to beat their prices. And you go, nobody, nobody right now is talking or is in Kanye West's ear, or is he allowing people to be, because he's putting himself in positions. If you're Donald Trump, why would you let Kanye West bring a racist to have dinner with? Why would you do that? And therefore, Donald Trump to say, "Well, I didn't know who he was." Well, you know Kanye West and what he's done so far. I mean, I'm not inviting Kanye West right now to my house to do anything. I mean, I don't even know if I want him on the turntable right now. So, I mean, it's just that's a little crazy.
Yeah. No, it is. Absolutely. And look, it's been a couple of weeks since the last time we've done one of these episodes. And, you know, what happened with Jaylen Brown, I thought he took accountability in saying, like, look, I made a mistake. I jumped the gun. Something that we just haven't seen from other people, like Kyrie Irving, you know, the whole apology thing. We don't have to rehash it. But my whole point is, I like that he took some accountability. Did he take a few days, you know, 4 or 5 days to take down the tweet, the retweet? Sure, but he just jumped the gun. It goes to show that you can't just see some people being supportive of another player, but you don't know what that group is. You don't know what they stand for. He went ahead and retweeted that.
Well, if you're talking about taking responsibility, I mean, I know some people say, well, he didn't respond quick enough. Well, the first time he responded too quick, and this time he didn't respond quick enough. On the flip side, I mean, so this is him. He came back. He said he was sorry. He said he did the wrong thing. He thought it was another group. Matter of fact, he thought it was my group, Omega Psi Phi, you know, my fraternity with their purple and gold. He thought that it was them supporting Kanye West, and he finds out later that it wasn't. So I just think that, you know, people are so quick to jump the gun. I mean, I even look at and I am not defending Jerry Jones at all. Of the Dallas Cowboys, but they talk about the photo of him when he was 13 years old. The man is 80-something years old now. I mean, at what point? I mean, I'm just not sure.
It's like, do you not know, like, how old this guy? Do the math. Like, what are the chances this guy's going to do or say some racist stuff? This is a pretty high chance, Max. I'm going to say 85% maybe, a white guy from the South. I'm sorry. Let's just call it what it is. What year was he born? Do the math. Think about the way the country was during that time.
Even with that, though, I think you – how do you judge a photo of him – peering over into a crowd? It wasn't like he was the front guy, and I'm not giving any excuses at all, but you don't know the context of that photo. And that, to me, that's where people jump the gun, and this council culture that we're in right now is gone absolutely berserk. I mean, what do you say? I have one of my sons right now. He was 5 years old, but no, maybe he was 6 years old. He walks up to me, and he was a big wrestling fan. So he walks up to me, and he was on WWF at that time, or WWE, whatever they are. But they had a group, some group, Generation X. So
DX.
Yeah, but he walks up to me, he's 6 years old, and he slaps between his legs and said, "Dad, I got two words for you." "What?" "Suck it." He was seven.
My dad would have grabbed the belt so quick.
But I mean, your dad wouldn't have grabbed the belt because you didn't know.
No, I know. I'm just kidding. At that age, you don't know better.
Do we go back if I have a photo of him, a video of him doing that?
Doing the DX through his legs.
How do we adjust to that? I mean, I just think it's a timeline now that after a while it's okay. How far do you go back in the age thing when you think about it? How far do you go back?
Dynasties know that every player counts. To build a championship team with a deep bench, you need Indeed. Indeed is the hiring platform where you can attract, interview, and hire all in one place. Don't spend hours on multiple job sites looking for candidates with the right skills when you can do it all with Indeed. Find top talent fast with Indeed's suite of powerful hiring tools like Indeed Instant Match, assessments, and virtual interviews. Hate waiting? Indeed's U.S. data shows that over 80% of Indeed employers find quality candidates whose resume on Indeed match their job description the moment they sponsor a job. One thing I love about Indeed is the screenings and assessments that make things so much easier when you're looking to hire the right person. Indeed helps star applicants shine before the interview with over 135 graded assessment tests they can take from cooking to coding. Indeed helps you see your top talent's abilities in a flash by adding any of 135 graded assessment tests to your job post. Select for the skills that matter. With Indeed assessments, you could pick from over 100 skills tests and add them to your job post. That way you can find candidates with the right skills fast. Indeed assessments can even give you a window into how candidates will be on the job. On average, applicants who scored proficient plus on the reliability assessments were nearly 8 times more likely to consistently attend work, according to U.S. Indeed data. Indeed assessments help take the stress out of the interview process. Candidates get to show their skills before the interview, so you can dive deeper into talking about what's important to you. Join over 3 million businesses worldwide using Indeed to hire great talent fast. Indeed knows that you're growing your own business. You have to make every dollar count. That's why with Indeed, you only pay for quality applications that match your must-have job requirements. Need to hire? You need Indeed. Visit Indeed.com/Maxwell to start hiring now. Just go to Indeed.com/Maxwell. That's Indeed.com/Maxwell. Terms and conditions apply.
Max, you got those skeletons in your closet, man? No, you good?
No,
you good?
No. Max got a bunch of skeletons in his closet. So I,
no receipts, why, no receipts, right?
Look, I have a bunch of skeletons I can look back on. If there are people right now that want to rehash my life, I would be out of here tomorrow. Be like, what, did you do that? Yeah, I did. But it's just that how far are we going back? Right now I'm 67. You want to go back to when I was 21? I mean, that's a long time that you looking at that, you know, how a person changed, how he's evolved. I think you look at some of the Dallas players. Ask them about Jerry Jones and who he is. Yeah, I did like LeBron's question, though. He said, you know, he's a huge Cowboy fan. Why didn't you ask me that? But, man, you're talking about stirring a pot up. I mean, nobody was even talking about this, and LeBron stirs that puppy up, and it goes viral.
Right. And even though he's in the NFL, he's going to speak on it. You know, that's just who he is. And he's been saying that, that this is his platform, and he's more than a basketball player. So,
well, I tell you what, if you have the popularity of LeBron, I just don't know about throwing stones the other way. You know, you live in a glass house and you start throwing stones. I don't know. I just don't. Do you want that smoke? And obviously LeBron wants it. I respect the fact that he's talking about his blackness as a black man. And I do respect that. I understand that. And his appeal. But again, it's a very dangerous environment right now to take a stance against certain things.
All right, 6-game road trip, Max. How does this thing play out? Speaking of LeBron, he's going to be on the tail end of that. You got a Warriors matchup. You got a back-to-back going from Brooklyn to Toronto and then flying down a couple days later to Phoenix, and then you got the California teams. How does this whole thing shake out, in your opinion?
I don't know, and that's why I want to see how this team plays. This 6-game trip, if they come back and they're 4-2, I think it was a very, very good trip. If they're 3-3, it's okay trip. But anything below 3-3 to me is a disappointment for this Celtic team. The way they're playing right now. I hate the fact that they got the Lakers on the last night of a six-game trip. It gives the Lakers an opportunity to kind of gel. But I'm happy, man, for the fact that the Celtics are playing the Lakers at this particular time.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. It's a good time for a good old Celtics-Lakers matchup. But going into this road trip, though, Joe Mazzulla, it's been thrown out there about a week ago that Rob Williams is working his way to it. You know, he's not, no setbacks. It's more of a him trying to regain his game, being game time in game time shape, right? And now Mazzulla is saying that it's really close. How important is that for the Celtics in terms of getting Rob back? And what does that do if he were to come back on this trip?
Well, I think if you look at the last trip against Miami got a bunch of layups. And what is Rob is a shot blocker. And intimidated, and you start looking over your shoulders. Look at some of the shots that Jimmy Butler took around the hole. Rob is there, it could be a different story. So I just think that, you know, with him coming back, it brings you another piece to what this organization is and where the Celtics want to go. You know, we know what they can do offensively, but they've been from time to time a little shaky on their defensive end, giving up the amount of shots. Even the first game against Miami, shot the lights out of it, let Miami get back within 8 or 9, but they shot it so well. You're not going to shoot the way the Celtics have shot all year long. Now, that's when I want to see their defense kind of ratchet up a little bit.
Yeah, that's the part I think is going to help, obviously, with Rob back in the fold. But they got to do it without him. You know, this got to be part of their identity. And I think they're starting to improve on that side of the floor.
Well, I think there are a lot of different looks that the Celtics have given you. Last night, their bench has really been good. But in the game against Miami, they weren't as good. They weren't as sharp from their bench. I would love to have seen a little Peyton Pritchard in there. But you didn't get a chance to see him. So it's so many options that he has that, you know, when you look at Joe Mazzulla, what he can throw at teams. But right now, you can't say anything other than, you know, how well the team has played. Another thing that came up, you know, and this is just how you and I talk. We keep it on the 100 all the time. Just listening and seeing what happened with the ex-coach's wife. To hear Nia Long, what she said about the organization, said nobody has reached out to her about, you know, the whole situation to see how she was good or not. And even me, I'm guilty of that. I've actually have her cell number, and I did. I thought it was a private, you know, really a private moment. And would you want me to call you and say, hey, I'm sorry about what happened? Mm-hmm. I mean, I wish I had done it before she said this, but it's almost like you don't know which way to go. Damn if you do, damn if you don't. Exactly, right. And the Celtics were in the positions. Damn if you do. If you call up and say, well, we're really sorry about what happened. Well, yeah, I can understand that. But again, it's like, and then some people just want to have their privacy and be away from it. So. Really interesting thing.
This episode of the Cedric Maxwell Podcast brought to you by BetOnline.ag. BetOnline remains your number one source for all your sports betting for football and basketball this season. You'll always find the latest odds, team matchup info, player news, and game trends at BetOnline. Always your continued source for sports wagering information. BetOnline features live betting, free contests, and live scores for almost any sport or game imaginable. We're the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your favorite NFL, NBA, NHL, MMA, tennis, boxing, and even golf games and events. Head to betonline.ag to join and receive your 50% welcome bonus with your first deposit. Make sure you use the promo code CLNS50 to receive your rewards. BetOnline, where the game starts.
Yeah, to be completely honest, I never thought about it. And I think the way she worded it was interesting because you remember that press conference of Brad Stevens, who was fighting back tears and says, like, how much this organization respects women and that we would never, you know, it was disgusting to see all these women's faces plastered all over social media as everyone just tried to figure out who it was. But no one mentioned issuing apologies to Nia Long. So I think she's right on that one. She's a good point.
No, what apology are you going to give to Nia
Long? I mean, I wouldn't say apology, but
that's the word you use.
Yeah, that's true. Well, not a public apology, but...
What apology? Don't say that. You know, sorry for what happened?
Yeah.
I mean, you said that, but just know apology can't be that. Sympathy. Having the sympathy, I think you might want to use that word, but no apology. Celtics didn't do anything wrong.
Show some sympathy, that's true.
Yeah, sympathy with a word I would have used to be sympathetic of her and her relationship. I think that could have been a call maybe the Celtics could have made. But again, I think you look at it and you say, look, she might just want privacy and to be away from all this. Maybe she was tired of hearing of it. So I just think the Celtics were between a rock and a hard place.
I agree with that. It's a tough spot. Not publicly, though. I assumed maybe they did something. But then again, it's like, it's a touchy subject, right? Were you going to send her flowers? Be like, hey.
What are you going to do? I mean, you can't. And then the thing about it, you can't say too much publicly because it's still litigation's going on right now. What's going on? So I think the Celtics tried to, I mean, maybe they could have done it, you know, just made a call and nobody would have known it. Probably would have been cool. But I don't think that you can say anything publicly about it because of all the litigations, which is probably still going on now.
That's true. That's a good point. Well, I'm glad you brought that up, Max, because that was, I saw Nia Long put that quote out there, and I was like, whoa, all right, you're right, you got that. You know, it's one of those. You thought about it for a second. I'm like, that makes sense. No one really thought about that. But you know what? That's going to do it for this episode of Cedric Maxwell Podcast. You already know, guys. Subscribe if you haven't already. Rate us on iTunes and all that good stuff, and we're going to continue to keep it on 100, of course. Celtics on the road. We'll check in with Max probably halfway through this road trip. But, man, it's going to be really interesting to see because this is a big test for this team. And obviously, all the accolades that they're getting so early, we're going to have to see if how those conversations stand after this road trip, I think. It's a big test.
Absolutely. So, again, guys, you know, as usual, we keep it on 100. We realize we haven't been with you in a while, but we're probably going to get back in full swing here. Probably during this Christmas and holiday time, and especially after this road trip. So anyway, take it easy, guys.